1027 Business with Michael Avery.
96% of Sasol shareholders have voted in favour of the company's climate change report, which sets out a pathway to realise its ambition to reach net zero by 2050. And just as a reminder, Sasol's Secunda plant, where it produces fuel from coal, is the largest single point source of greenhouse gas emissions anywhere on Earth. And we are looking for a credible strategy that will show that it's going to reduce its reliance on coal. The vote followed after hours of tough questions on Friday leveled at Sasol's board and management at the group's AGM. And Tracy Davies, Executive Director of non-profit Just Share, joins us now. Tracy, Just Share was one of the 4% who voted against this. What do you make, firstly, of Sasol's commitments and strategy from the perspective of whether or not these provide the necessary detail and adequate accountability mechanisms to convince shareholders that the company actually has put a feasible, measurable plan to achieve these 2030 emission reduction targets?
Hi, Michael. I think, let me begin by saying that there is definitely a huge change in the level of Sasol's disclosure and planning from a climate change perspective compared to, say, 3 years ago. But the key thing, and this was really reflected in their current plan as well, is that we've had improvements in disclosure, we've had improvements in plans, we've had improvements in targets, but we've had no improvements in actual emissions. And it's important to remember that that is the key thing here, right? Are they decreasing their gigantic carbon emissions? So we sent out a briefing to shareholders, and we know that all the big institutional investors were also very aware of the significant gaps in detail in Sasol's plans, and not just around 2050, but even just up to 2030. Their 2030 target relies on them finding and securing huge amounts of natural gas, or fossil gas, as it is more commonly known these days. And there are huge uncertainties around whether they will be able to do that. And even if they do, whether it will be an affordable feedstock for Secunda. And then the other major concern that we had, as you mentioned, was an accountability concern. Sasol hasn't set any short-term decarbonization milestones until 2026. Who knows whether the current executive team will even be in place then. And it's going to be extremely difficult to hold the company accountable for these plans now that all of its shareholders pretty much have said, go for it, guys. Great plan.
We do have Sasol mentioning green hydrogen and its commitment to play in this new future. But to your earlier point, emissions still rising ever since it set that target back in 2019. There was a mention of a recently constituted Just Transition Office. It seems to be the office that's most in vogue in corporate South Africa at the moment. Do we have any further information about this?
No, none at all. Sasol has a big sustainability team now, and one assumes that it's probably many of the same people that are in that team, but that the office has been reconstituted. You know, there are lots of, across the corporate world, sneaky and nifty rebrandings, futures, just transition offices. We've got to not let these things distract us. The question is, are they reducing emissions and can they be held accountable? And unfortunately, we've seen even from direct responses from most of the big shareholders that they've essentially rewarded Sasol for having a plan, not for having a plan that is feasible or credible at this point in time.
What's the point of having a plan if you're not going to engage with the detail and the mechanisms and really interrogate it? It is hugely disheartening. If you look at the CapEx side of things, by 2030, Sasol's CapEx target, I think, is 10 to 15%. So that is roughly 25 to 35 billion rand cumulative total capital spend, inclusive of gas feedstock and the energy business roadmap costs. And that's expected to fund 30% of Sasol's greenhouse gas emissions reduction target, so 65% to be spent from 2026. Is that sufficient?
Well, it's incredibly hard to tell because that, what you've just said, is basically the level of detail that everybody has about that plan and about the CapEx expenditure. One of the key elements of Sasol's plan is that it does not itself plan to finance the infrastructure build required for any of its targets. So the pipelines and infrastructure for gas, it expects the government to fund. Similar with its hydrogen plans, it's entering into lots of partnerships and deals with potential for, possibly future kind of realization of these gains. But the bottom line is, you know, the CapEx details are extremely thin on the ground. And even if we look at the cost of gas feedstock before the recent global massive price, gas price hikes, if Sasol was using gas as a feedstock instead of coal, its liquid fuels would be completely uneconomic. You know, they would be producing a barrel of oil for about $30 more than they could sell it for. So, you know, it's not just about the CapEx expenditure, but the actual economics of changing the feedstock, as well as the uncertainties inherent in expecting, you know, the entire kind of national infrastructure build plan to be centered on your company's targets.
Where to now for Sasol and your activism around this issue, Tracy, considering that you were amongst a very small minority of 4% who voted against?
Well, I think that it's going to be extremely interesting to see how quickly Sasol can start to credibly roll out its renewable energy procurement plans, which are the first phase of its plans for decarbonizing its Scope 2 emissions, which are electricity that it buys from Eskom. And that, of course, is also inherently reliant on all sorts of factors like grid capacity in the Northern Cape, which is currently at maximum, you know. So there are all sorts of external factors that are going to make it difficult for them to do what they say they need to do. So we'll be watching that very carefully. Hopefully so will all their investors who've said, you know, even though we voted for this plan, that doesn't mean we believe that that all the details are in place and we're going to be watching Sasol very carefully to see what happens. But unfortunately, because of the way the plan has been set up and because of the timeframes, which investors have now endorsed, there's not much to hold them accountable to until 2026. So this is going to require some fairly creative strategies and approaches, which we're civil society is thinking of as we speak.
Tracy Davies, Executive Director of Just Share, giving her feedback on Sasol's climate change plan, which was published at its AGM, accepted by 96% of shareholders, but really falling short on much of the critical detail against which the company can be measured and held accountable. You're listening to Hot Business.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.